Feast of Purim. Thank you, Lord. It's celebrated on the 14th day of the month of Adar. As you can see, it's a time of great joy and celebration. In synagogues around the world and in cities around the world, there's parades and there's carnivals where young girls participate in Queen Esther pageants. I remember years ago, my daughter Tova, we went to the Jewish Community Center in El Paso, Texas. She was dressed up as Esther, and she won the pageant. She won the top prize at the Jewish Community Center. Praise the Lord. Now, the traditional greeting during Purim is Chag Purim Sameach. Let's practice that. Say Chag. Chag. Pretend you're clearing your throat. Go Chag Purim Sameach. It means Happy Purim Holiday. That's why we're singing Happy Purim Holiday. Remember that? Also, there's plays which are held in synagogues and temples called Purim Spiels, where you enact the Book of Esther. And we used to have that in our congregation in Texas all the time. As God gives us more young people, we can have our own plays here again. So I'm looking forward to that. During the plays and during the synagogue readings of the Megillah, the Scroll of Esther, as we read it earlier, everyone drowns out the mention of Haman's name. And these are called groggers. And adults even write the name of Haman on the bottom of their shoe. And when you write the name of Haman on the bottom of his shoe, you can stomp out his name. Stomp out his name. Stomp out his name. That evil name forever. Now Deuteronomy chapter 25 verse 19 says that you shall blot or stomp out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. Now, why do we speak of that verse from Deuteronomy? Because Haman was a direct descendant of King Agag, who is king of the Amalekites, Israel's ancient enemy. So that's why God told Israel to stomp out that name. Now, again, everyone boos and hisses when they hear that mention of vile name of Haman. Boo! And everyone cheers when they hear the name Esther and Mordecai. Yay! Now also during Purim, and we see this more in Israel, there's a tradition of sending gifts to one another and to give charity to the poor. And that tradition is known as Mishloch Menot or Matanot Le'evonim. And it's taken from Esther chapter 9, verse 22 that we read earlier, where Mordecai, yay! Where he wrote to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So that's where that custom comes through. This is a biblical feast, biblical holiday. Now, Purim is also the time when everyone noshes, that's eating, what's called three-cornered fruit pastries called Hamantaschen, or Haman's Pockets. Now in Israel they call it Ozne Haman, which is Haman's ears. Now you're going to have an opportunity, thanks to Donnie Polly, wherever he is, he made over 200 and some Hamantaschen. So you're going to be able to eat Haman's ears. Woo. Just clean out the wax first, okay? Now, of course, my favorite is poppy seed, and Donnie made a whole bunch of poppy seed one and apricot ones as well. So I'm looking forward to it. Now, seeds and nuts are customarily eaten at Purim. As the Talmud, the writings of the Jewish people, relate that Queen Esther only ate these kind of foods in the palace of King Ahasuerus, since she had no access to clean food, food that was kosher from the scriptures. Now, Iranian Jews today and mountain Jews consider themselves direct descendants of Esther. And on Purim, Iranian Jews visit the tombs of Esther and Mordechai in Hamadan in Iran. So if you ever go to Iran, which I will never go to Iran, but if you ever go to Iran, you can visit the tombs of Esther and Mordechai in Hamadan. Now, yet behind all this feasting and all this merriment and all this excitement, there's really a very somber message. And that's what I want to talk about. In this story, we see the near destruction of the Jewish people. And Purim reminds us that Jewish survival often hangs by a thread of circumstance. But the matter is in the hand of God, just like we saw in that video earlier. And throughout the ages, God has steadfastly maintained a believing remnant, a Sherit Yisrael, of His people to be the oracles and the depositories of His holy scriptures and to be a light and a witness of His love and faithfulness to all the nations of the world. My wife's looking at me kind of funny because I said Sherit Yisrael. That used to be the name of our congregation in El Paso. So she looked at me and said, "What you saying?" With her eyes, okay? You know the eyes. Yes, you know the eyes. Okay. Purim is classified today among the Jewish people as one of the minor festivals. But that's not really the assessment of the ancient rabbis. Many believe that the book of Esther was intended to illustrate God at work behind the scenes. And you saw that again on the video earlier. That is that God was controlling and God was manipulating all the actions and all the events, everything that was taking place. And more than one sage compared Purim to the major feast of Yom Kippur. The Hasidim, the Orthodox sect of Judaism, interpreted Purim as a classic case of what's known as Kiddush Hashem, or the sanctification of the name, where individual Jewish people were willing to die rather than to forsake their faith in God. And we should be willing to do this very same thing ourselves, that we would be willing to die rather than forsake the name of God, our faith in God. Now, there may be a time when that may take place, where you are told that you have to deny Yeshua or be beheaded. Are you willing to do that? You know, it's very easy to say that. But when you're facing a guillotine or something like that right here, and they tell you, deny Yeshua or have your head chopped off. And there's a guillotine and you see blood dripping on it from the person in front of you or that was just there. It's not going to be so easy. They say, "Oh yeah, I'll do it, I'll do it." So think about those things. You know, the preservation of the Jewish people under severe hardship and genocidal threats is a theme that's woven throughout Jewish history. At Purim, we see Haman. He's a metaphor of evil, just like the Pharaoh was, just like Antiochus Epiphanes from the story of Hanukkah, just like Chmielnicki, who conducted all the pogroms upon the Jewish people in the Ukraine, or even Adolf Hitler. They're all the same. They have the same spirit, the spirit of the evil one. In a speech in 1944, Hitler actually said that if the Nazis were defeated, that the Jewish people would celebrate a second triumphant Purim if they were defeated. On Purim in 1942, 10 Jews were hanged to avenge the hanging of Haman's 10 sons. In a similar incident in 1943, the Nazis shot 10 Jews in another area because of the killing of Haman's 10 sons. And on Purim Eve that same year, over 100 Jewish doctors and their families were shot to death by the Nazis. The following day, the Jewish doctors were taken from Radom and shot nearby in another town. In an apparent connection made by Hitler and his Nazi regime, and the role of Haman, he stated again in a speech in 1944 on January 30th that if the Nazis were defeated, that the Jews could celebrate another second Purim. And I'm sure the Jewish people have been celebrating a triumphant Purim ever since that day, because the Nazis were defeated and God preserved his people. Thank you, Lord. Also, indeed, Julius Streicher, Streicher was heard to sarcastically remark, Purim Fest in 1946, after the war, when they had the Nuremberg trials and the Nazi criminals were hung. As he was being hung, he screamed out, Purim Fest, 1946. In other words, the Jews could truly celebrate because the Nazis were defeated. Now, Purim itself affirms the biblical truth from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. We see that very clearly in this story and in the life of Haman. It really reflects this truth more clearly than perhaps any other biblical character, because we see the immediate results of the fact that he tried to curse Israel and it cost him his life. You know, with the rise of anti-Semitism around the world today, and we see that again on the videos, and Jew haters like Iran's religious leaders, which we saw in the videos again, they threaten to destroy Israel with nuclear holocaust. It's important that those of us who are true believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, that we would be willing to stand by and support the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. We have to be willing to do that. We must be willing to use whatever powers of position that we may have for such a time as this, as it's written in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Believers must be willing to stand against those who paint swastikas on synagogue buildings, threaten Jewish community centers, destroy Jewish cemeteries, and we're seeing this. Jewish community centers around the whole United States have been receiving bomb threats for the last several months. Jewish cemeteries throughout the country have had their tombstones broken and shattered. We're seeing it taking place today. Hate groups forming to persecute the Jewish people. And a principle from the book of Esther that people are given positions so that they can do something for God. But like Esther, and like Esther, yay! We must be willing to risk rejection and persecution and possibly even death to stand for God and the Jewish people. We have to be willing to do that. Are we willing to risk everything to stand for the kingdom of God? Are we willing to stand for the kingdom of God, see his people, the Jewish people, protected and loved? We have to be willing to do that. God may put us in such a position for such a time as this to show what our true character and our true nature is. Are we ready to do the will of God? That's the question that we have to answer ourselves. And Purim reminds us of God's faithfulness and the triumph of the righteous victim over the evil oppressor. Now, some see the meaning of Purim only in terms of good deeds overpowering all the evil Hamans of the world. But yet reality tells us that despite our many good deeds and all noble efforts to work within the social and political frameworks, there are just too many evil Hamans in this world. And there's just not enough of Esther's and Mordecai's. So how are we going to combat all the evil Hamans of the world? We need to be Esther's and Mordecai's. That's what we need to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The only way to rebuild the world is for it to be turned upside down once again. then finally it's going to be right side up the way it should be, because the world is upside down today. Totally upside down. Yeshua. Come on, Yeshua! Come on, everyone. Yeshua! Yay! Yeshua, the innocent Lamb of God, willingly took the place of the guilty. Those of us who are guilty. And the weight of such a sacrifice was enough to swing the world back to an upright position where people could face God and ask for forgiveness. And instead of an evil Haman hanging... Okay, give me a freebie this time, okay? Give me a freebie. Instead of an evil Haman... Freebie. Instead of an evil Haman hanging from the wooden gallows, Yeshua, the innocent Lamb of God, made that sacrifice once and for all as he hung upon a tree. Thank you, Lord. And though he was hung on a tree, his name is not blotted out. And his name is not cursed. Because he is the name that brings life and salvation. He is the name that's above every other name. He is the name which all people will proclaim. The name above all names that someday, as it says in the Hebrew Aleinu prayer, that every knee will bend and every knee will bow to that name of Yeshua. This Purim, as Jewish people follow the tradition and blot out that name of Amalek and that name of Haman, boo! And all those kind like him, may the Jewish people, it's my prayer, they also may they consider the claims of Yeshua, whose very name means salvation. Because Yeshua offers peace and life to all, both Jews and Gentiles, to all. God is not a respecter. For all who trust in his name, and all who follow him, according to the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, will have their own names inscribed in the Book of Life that can never be blotted out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, he who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the Book of Life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Also in Revelation chapter 2, verse 22 through 27, we read, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and their kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there anymore. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You know, there's been conjecture in the Scripture where people have asked, did Yeshua celebrate Purim? Did Yeshua celebrate Purim? It's written in the book of John, chapter 5, that Yeshua was in Jerusalem for an unnamed feast. It doesn't give the name. It's an unnamed feast in John, chapter 5. But scholars have questioned which feast this was. Some have rejected the idea that it was Purim, because Purim was considered a minor feast and not one of the Shalosh Regalim, or the three pilgrimage festivals. However, we know that Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah in John chapter 10, verse 22, and that's also considered a minor feast. So we see he did celebrate the minor feasts. According to modern research on this question, chronologically, if you look at all the dates, when all the different feasts were, and the cycle of the Jewish calendar, The only feast that John could be referring to in this unnamed feast could have been was Purim. That's the only one it could be chronologically. Because it was said to have fallen on the Shabbat in John chapter 5, verse 9. And the only feast that occurred on Shabbat between the years 25 and 28 BC was, in fact, Purim in the year 28 CE. So it looks like this unnamed feast may have been the feast that Yeshua celebrated. But why was it referred to as the unnamed feast? Perhaps the Spirit of God intentionally left out the name of the feast because the name of the Lord was likewise deliberately left out of the book of Esther. No mention in the book of Esther, no mention in John 5 to show that God's purposes are hidden from us. And God is at work behind the scenes. But in the end, we see His presence everywhere and know that it was God's handiwork throughout. So as we celebrate this year, remember that when you're going through difficult situations and circumstances in your life and you don't know what to do and you're confused and you don't see God with you or you don't feel God is with you, just remember that God is there. He's working behind the scenes. He's taking care of every circumstance and every situation in your life. He's taking all the pieces of the puzzle and He's joining them together. And the end result will be a beautiful picture. A beautiful part of your life God will reveal. So be excited because God is working in your life. You may not see it, but it's true and it's real. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, for your word, O God. Help us to see that you're with us at all times, in the times of trouble, in the good times, in the times we don't feel you or see you, that you're here with us, Lord. We just pray that you encourage us, that we would know and realize that you're always there, leading us and guiding us and directing us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing one of my favorite songs right now. It's a Purim song. It's called The Wicked, Wicked Man. You want to come up, hon? Help me with Bob? Woman? Oh, once there was a wicked, wicked man. The Bible calls him Haman. He lied and lied about the Jews, who he was always blaming. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. And knock some home in And Esther was a lovely queen of King Ahasuerus. When Haman said he'd kill us all, oh my, how he did scare us. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. And not some home in Tashin. You hold the and, Bob, not the B.
Okay. I did it that time.
But Mordechai, her cousin, both said, what a dreadful name, sir. Our Esther is a clever queen. His people she will save, sir. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. And not some home in Tarshish. When Esther, speaking to the king of Haman's plot, made mention, aha, said he, oh no, he won't, I'll spoil his bad intention. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Yeah. Nachum Kamentashen. The guest of honor, he shall be the clever Mr. Smarty. And high above us, he will hang at a little hanging party. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. And Nachum Kamentashen. Of all his cruel and kind ways, this little joke did cure him. And don't forget, we owe him thanks for this jolly feast of Purim. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. The Bible tells how God destroyed all Haman's plans so clever, and God preserved the Jews that day, as he has done forever. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Oh, today we'll merry, merry be. Not some homage.